InfoQuake by David Lewis Edelman, Chapter 2. The two apprentices sat stiffly, afraid to move. Jara wondered if she had stumbled onto the set of an old-fashioned drama by mistake, with Natch playing the part of the mad capitalist who went too far. Or maybe the Fief Corp master was starring in a farce instead. Number one on the Primo's Biologic Investment Guide tomorrow? Impossible, said Jara. You can't just press a button and will yourself to the top of Primo's. It's all impartial, rules-based. They've got strict formulas that nobody knows, except the senior interpreters. Natch regarded her with a stare he might have given a less evolved subspecies of humanity. And? Don't be ridiculous, Natch. They sift through 10,000 biologic programs a day, and every decision they make affects the hierarchy. You can't predict Primo's rankings. And don't give me that look. You can't rig them either. People have tried. She turned to Horval, aiming her index finger at his bulbous nose. Come on, Horval. You know about Primos as well as I do. They're not accountable to anyone. The engineer stretched his arms out over his head, suspended them there momentarily, then sent them crashing down onto his commodious lap. Primos, impartial because we have to be, he quoted the company's official slogan. Your biologic systems depend on us, from hearts and lungs to stocks and funds. Natch might well have been a video clip in pause mode. He gave no outward sign he had even been listening to his apprentice's exchange. All right, spat Jara, anxious to break the tension in the room. I suppose you have some brilliant plan to make this happen. The Fief Corp master began to pace once more. Of course I do, he replied, stone-faced. Now, as you know, today we're scheduled to release Night Focus 48, our biggest and best product this year. Jara thought about debating the best portion of this statement, but changed her mind and leaned back in the sofa. Horval was one of the best engineers in the business, but Jara knew from experience he got sloppy when he worked long hours. Night Focus 48 would have its share of bugs and inconsistencies, like any program bred of human thought. Well, guess who else is planning a product launch this week? Continued Natch. Jara's heart skipped a beat. Don't tell me the Patel brothers are finally releasing Nighthawk 73, she said. The Fief Corp master nodded. The same. Jara frowned and crossed her arms over her chest. With that kind of competition, how in the world did Natch expect to top the market this week of all weeks? The Patel brothers had dominated the number one rating on Primos for the past 2.5 years. They were widely perceived to be unbeatable. Of course, this hadn't stopped Natch from confronting the Patels head-to-head on a variety of programs over the past few months. On the contrary, the challenge spurred him to new heights of competitive frenzy. He plotted their release schedules on graphs of 3, 4, and 5 dimensions. He hunted down even the dead-endingest rumors about Frederick and Petruchio Patel. And now, it seemed, after feeling the occasional prick of Natch's jabs on the Primo's battlefield, a Wasva point here, a preempted product launch there, the Patel brothers had finally accepted the challenge of their younger rival. Releasing Nighthawk in the same week as Night Focus was a direct assault. Horval was unperturbed by this latest turn of events. Why are you two so worried? He said, trying unsuccessfully to stifle a yawn. We've put a lot of work into Night Focus. It's good code. I'm not afraid to go up against the Patels. So then what do we do? Asked Natch. His tone of voice indicated it was a rhetorical question. Jara scowled. She knew where this was heading. If anybody but you asked me that question, I would say, we both launch our products on the data sea and may the best company win. The Fief Corp master gave her one of his wolfish grins, the kind that had little to do with humor. On some alternate plane of existence, Natch's audience howled in gleeful anticipation. You think I'm afraid to go up against the Patels? I just don't like pulling these dirty tricks of yours. We're number 6 on Primos in a field of thousands. Why can't you be happy with that? Natch stopped in mid-stride and gave his apprentice a piercing look. Happy with failure? He said incredulously, as if she had suggested joining one of the creeds and devoting his life to poverty. Happy with this? He gestured wildly around him at what seemed to Jara to be a pretty nice flat. Natch's apartment had enough space for both living and working quarters, with room left over to entertain. Not only that, but it boasted real and programmable windows, as well as a lush garden of daisies right smack in the middle of the place. Maybe Natch's apartment paled in comparison to the lunar estates of the big tycoons, but at least it was decorated. Jara composed herself. "Natch, number 6 on Primos isn't failure," she said. "Most programmers spend their whole lives trying to crack the top 10. We've gotten here in 36 months. 36 months, Natch! Primos has been around for almost 70 years, and nobody's ever done it as fast as we have. Horval, where were we a year ago today?" The engineer focused his attention inward for a split second, the telltale sign of a brain angling for information on the data sea. 62, announced Horval momentarily. "The year before that, 419. Jara threw up her hands as if to say, "See what I mean?" "And the year before that, we didn't..." Natch cut his apprentice off in mid-sentence. "Does this shit have a point?" Jara stood her ground. "I'm not suggesting we quit trying, Natch. I'm just saying we'll get to the top eventually, by the strength of our products, without dirty tricks. The Patel brothers are getting older, and we're gaining on them all the time. In a couple of years, when all the tax breaks dry up, they'll sell out and dissolve their fief corp. That's what happens in this business." Natch grimaced, rocked back and forth on his heels, and let out a restless sigh. He looked like the little boy who had been scolded by his proctors for staying out past curfew. Despite all his frantic motion, every chestnut-colored hair on his head remained perfectly in place. Jara met his stare, but she was disappointed to see Horval struggling to stay awake. "Thanks for backing me up, Horv," she thought. "All right," said the Fief Corp master, with a look on his face that said, "I'll go through the motions of considering your worthless ideas, but only for form's sake. Let's take a look at Night Focus 48 in Mindspace. Let's see how strong our products really are." Jara and Horval followed Natch into his office. The room was short and sparsely decorated and functional, but still quite a bit nicer than Jara's workspace. Artificial daylight streaming into the room from two square windows showed a hectic market square somewhere in Beijing. "That's one way to keep working through all hours of the night," Jara thought sourly. "Pretend it's day." Natch walked up to the squat workbench that sat in the center of the room and waved his hand to summon the virtual programming bubble known as Mindspace. He was instantly surrounded by a clear holographic sphere about 2 meters in diameter, along with an assortment of interlocking geometric shapes and connecting fibers. The program loaded in Mindspace looked like a dense pyramid carpeted with spikes. It wasn't any code that Jara recognized. "What's that?" she said. "Nothing," grumbled the Fief Corp master, banishing the display with a flick of his wrist. A more cohesive structure appeared in the layer beneath, shaped like a lopsided donut and colored in soft grays and blues. Strands of purple and white formed an intricate net through the center. Jara could have traced those supple curves with her eyes closed. Night Focus 48. Natch took one look at the mass of biologic code floating in front of him and gave a snort of disgust. His dissatisfaction grew as he rotated the donut slowly along its Z-axis. "Imperfect," Jara could hear him thinking, a fourth-act soliloquy to his invisible audience. "Unsatisfactory, a mockery of all the projects I've left unfinished, all the goals I've left unattained." "Well, what are we waiting for?" said Horval. "Let's fire this baby up." Jara gave her internal system a silent command to activate Night Focus, and then waited a few seconds as the program disseminated its instructions to the microscopic machines floating in her bloodstream. She tried to detect the millions of calculations going on inside her brain, the logical handshakes extending thousands of kilometers from her virtual body here to cellular structures standing stiff on a red tile in London. But she knew that even if she were here in the flesh, the chemical reactions in the retina and the electric pulses along the ciliary muscle would be completely undetectable. Biologic programs had not been that crude since Sheldon Serena invented the science some 360 years ago. "I think it's working," said Jara, a hopeful statement. Horval puffed up his chest and clapped a virtual arm around Natch's shoulder. Of course it's working. What did I tell you? The Fief Corp master said nothing. He turned off the Beijing scene on the left window, leaving a view of the real darkness outside. Natch squinted, shook his head, and marched through the other room to the balcony door. Horval and Jara followed him as he stepped outside the cold, dark Shenandoah night, about 3:30 now. A platform promptly slid under their feet from the side of the building. The three Fief Corpers stood at the railing and gazed into the distance, looking for a suitable object on which to test their enhanced vision. Flashing lights were still evident in the rowdier quarters of the city, but out here in the residential district, things were relatively quiet. There, said Horval, pointing towards a viewscreen that stood several blocks down the road, its lights dim now that there was no foot traffic. Jar found that she could read the advertisement clearly. Drink chai quoke, because the Defense and Wellness Council still lets you. Beneath the print, the smart alecky chai quoke pitchman suckled on a neon purple bottle, while a council officer looked on with overt disapproval. Horval danced a clumsy jig of triumph.
Looks like the Natch Personal Programming Fief Corp will still be in business tomorrow, he crowed. Oh yeah!
Jara breathed a sigh of relief. Why had she been so nervous? Night Focus 48 had worked fine yesterday, too, and the day before, and the day before. She hadn't seen a major glitch in the program since version 43 or 44. So what do you think? She asked Natch. Ready for launch?
Does it look like it's ready for launch?
The Fief Corp master replied brusquely. The color resolution needs a lot of work. And from the look of those blueprints, this program uses way too many cycles. You think we can just release a product that sucks up all the computing resources on the data sea and crashes people's systems? No, it's not fucking ready at all.
Jara reacted as if he had slapped her. There was a sudden fermata in Horval's dance, which he tried to pass off as intentional. Why had they slaved through so many nights if they were going to get this kind of treatment?
Can't either of you see what I'm trying to do? Asked Natch, his tone suddenly quiet and contemplative.
I'm just pointing out the same inadequacies that Primos is going to find tomorrow.
Primos doesn't care if you spent all night coding. They only care about two things, success and failure. Success means more sales. It means respect. It means moving up to the next level of the game. Everything else is failure.
Natch rubbed his forehead and gave a yearning look out towards the horizon.
Jara couldn't help but roll her eyes at his histrionics.
Doesn't Natch ever stop to wonder if he's taking himself too seriously? She thought.
She wanted to screech obscenities at the invisible audience, to throttle his knowing smirk. She wanted to get him out of those breeches somewhere quiet and instruct him in low, sibilant tones about the things that really mattered.
The Fief Corp master turned. He gave Jara a long, penetrating stare of amusement and contempt, while Horval shifted awkwardly from foot to foot behind them.
Now come inside, Natch said, and I'll tell you my plan.
Jara lowered her eyes.
I thought you said no more dirty tricks, she whimpered.
I never said that. I said I'd take a look at Night Focus 48, which I just did, and it's awful. Besides, why do you keep using those words, dirty tricks? I don't do dirty tricks. It's called business.
End Chapter 2. For more information about InfoQuake, visit the website at www.infoquake.net.